I take on the notion of the inability to change and like a challenge. I'm just like, oh, you don't think people can change? Well, watch me do that. So that's where I like to live in this space of like, well, then I will change.
But it's hard to change is the point.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes, that is the point.
Yeah.
And if you can change so easy, mm-hmm. why don't you start liking serious movies?
Well, I like them, you know. No, you I'd just rather laugh.
Laugh.
Pretty accurate. So you could have inserted like 1,000 things. Worked on. I was waiting for something like much worse than that.
No, I wouldn't do you like that.
Why don't you look at a calendar once in a while?
Yes.
Why don't you read an email?
Change is
easy, but somebody else's change. Read an email. Kill me now.
Yeah. I avoid every message ever. And I don't even care. I try to not carry my phone anymore ever. Because I think that, like, 15 years ago, I thought things were getting too connected with just the cell phone thing. And cell phones came out, like, I mean, more and more common when I was just, I don't know, just graduated from high school. And I was like, ugh, I don't like that anyone can call me who has this number at any point. And now it's just like anyone can reach you no matter what fucking platform they want to, you know, it's too much for me. I get very nervous when I feel like there's so many things calling for my attention. So I've taken to just like, just forgetting my phone, just like leaving it places because I can't take it.
Yeah. Mine. A lot of times it comes down to the pressure of like things turning into a conversation and like, back in the day, you would email and expect to get an email like hours later. Now, if you respond to an email that you just got, that could turn into a boom. We're having a conversation right now. I'm just like, I don't want to have a conversation right now. So like, I'll check my email maybe tonight, if that, and maybe decide to respond like tomorrow.
Right. It's
like it.
I don't think we're I mean, I think it's something that I've learned about myself in terms of my anxiety. Like, it's just, I always wanted to make sure I never left anyone hanging. And it got to the point where too many people were calling for my attention. And I was just like, I can't, like, this is making me so nervous because then when I get back to people really fast and then they don't get back to me fast, I read into things. I get very nervous. Yep. I get really like fucked up about it. And then like, I forget to reply to somebody for so long. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm such a shit. Like I saw that you said this, but then like, or like my phone, the other fun fucking thing is like half the apps that I have don't ever let me know whether something's happening. Like, like Telegram, which is what everyone uses in our group, it doesn't ever work on my phone ever, so I'm like always completely out of every conversation, and then I get in like days later and I'm like, oh, sorry guys, hey, that was funny that you said that, and it makes me fucking anxious. I just wish that I didn't have to have a cell phone at all. It makes me very anxious.
Nice to just come home to a computer and then that's your only method of communication, and then when you walk away from the computer, you're just like, I'm invisible again. And people will just get me when they get me.
Yeah.
You know what would make you like carrying your cell phone around more? Is the right ringtone. Like this.
Oh.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. I'm waiting.
Nina.
Are you not going to do it? Are we transitioning out of it?
Uh-huh. I decided I didn't want to do it anymore.
Because it's not respectful to the fact that she's dead?
Mm-hmm. No, actually, right. It's disrespectful to the song is more what it is.
All right. Welcome to Ever Would, Never Wouldn't podcast, where I, Adam Lawver, make my friends
Eric
and Stephanie Nisnik
and KT, and occasionally my boyfriend
Jerome,
watch and discuss with me the now second season of the hit early 2000s WB teen/family drama Everwood. Tonight's episode, season 2, episode 4, East Meets West, written by John E. Pogue, directed by David Petrarca. Original air date, October 6, 2003. Official DVD episode description.
Oh boy.
Life is strife.
What?
Life is strife.
What the fuck?
The two Dr. Abbotts clash over the virtues of Western and Eastern healing. Delia's babysitter tries to micromanage Ephraim, Colin's father won't stop drinking, and Nina contends with her divorce. Life is strife, indeed.
It's like TV shows have drama.
Yeah.
Stories about conflict. Oh man, this is a fun episode.
Fun is a word.
I thought so.
Yeah, I think you might be not in line with the consensus here, Jerome, if you don't think that was a fun episode.
I mean, there were parts that were really weird to me, but I think it was fun. Yes. It was
a fun episode.
I would say it was fun.
I've been convinced.
what a
fun episode.
Okay.
All right. And that's it for Everwood Never Wouldn't, guys, this week.
That was a fun episode.
We get a reference to the Dudleys, which is the family from like the second episode ever of the show. That single mother with all the kids.
Out in like the boonies.
Out in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of cool that they kind of are kind of bring back references to characters.
Disparaging of them.
Yeah, I know. I felt really bad about that. Yeah.
Oh, those grossies.
If anyone has any disease, it's those fucking disgusting
humans. It's the poor people. Mm-hmm.
Specifically, wow. If this town ever gets SARS, it'll start with the Dudleys.
Yeah, that was real weird.
Isn't COVID SARS?
It's SARS-CoV-19.
Is SARS a coronavirus?
Wow.
And then
to see Dr. Brown
go over there with no mask, not even like packing a mask in his bag. I'm just like, what world were we living in?
Well, they didn't have SARS. I forget what.
Why they didn't strep they,
throat.
Adam?
Strep throat is enough wear a mask.
Was that into this episode?
That's what he
that
said.
Was what they had in the first season.
Really? They had the same thing?
I think it was strep throat. Mm.
Well, then something in that family, check for mold. I don't know. Like, what's happening?
Poor people getting sick and shit, needing their free health care.
Mm-hmm.
We also get introduced to Madison in the first scene.
Hi, Madison.
Why don't we track the Madison stuff?
Okay, let's track it. I wanted to talk about something before the first scene.
Before the first scene.
This was the horniest Irv narration I've ever heard.
Oh yeah, like
thrusting and pounding.
Woo!
Uh huh.
I'll go ahead and insert that here to continue with the sexual innuendos.
Plug it in right there.
From the thrusting up of the Rocky Mountains to the carving down of the Grand Canyon, great change only comes from conflict. But where nature's greatest conflicts consist of relentless pounding of water on rock or of collisions under the Earth's crust, for people to change, it takes other people.
I totally forgot about the Irv narration. We do have some Irv narration. About something about change and shit. It was about change.
I don't know.
How change happens in nature.
Couldn't think over my erection.
Change thrusts itself upon you. Totally. You know, that's a very, very good thing to acknowledge. Irv is still horny AF.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way I could pay attention to the Irv narration.
Is by getting horny over Nice. So Evrim expresses some concern about Madison early on in the episode. Right away, he's not really on board. We get a great line from Andy, like, hey, I thought you'd be overcome by whatever passes for joy with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because Evrim doesn't really want to be spending time like keeping an eye on Delia. Mm-hmm. So I think Andy does a great job finding a babysitter for Delia.
Yeah.
Evrim tries, you know, being all like, oh, Delia doesn't always like new people. But as we'll see, Delia, in fact, likes Madison a lot. Ephraim's pizza is the real victim of this episode.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because Madison throws out his pizza without asking him.
Throws it out.
Isn't that infuriating?
Yes. It really is.
I was expecting to eat the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're all agreed that Madison is bad.
Uh-huh.
Madison.
Yeah. Madison, yes, yes, yes.
Ephraim gets annoyed. Stop talking to me like you're my babysitter, because you're not.
Agreed.
Right.
And
like,
yes, that's totally true.
I absolutely agree with this.
This babysitter was on MTV's Undressed.
You looked it up?
She's unqualified to be a babysitter.
I think I would have recognized her from Undressed.
Yeah. She's been in a lot of stuff.
What's her name?
Sarah Lancaster.
Oh yeah, I always was excited by the fact that her last name was Lancaster.
Hmm.
Although she probably pronounces it Lancaster.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome to the show, Sarah Lancaster, as Madison. And as Delia says to you in this episode after Ephraim storms out, welcome to my world. Mm-hmm. So funny with the one. Delia gets some fun this episode.
Yes, she does.
She also, like, turns off his video games, which is also, like, that's frustrating. Especially if she didn't already, she didn't ask him,
mm-hmm.
didn't give him any kind of warning.
Mm-hmm.
And her reasoning is, like, well, if Delia sees you playing these games all the time, she'll want to play them, too.
Also, she better be happy that Ephraim's not a psycho
mm-hmm.
who would have, like, done something way worse if you just walk up and turn his game off. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't trust teenagers, and especially like now teenagers, and just like I would fully expect him to smash the TV if I did something like that.
Well, yeah. I do think that she feels comfortable interacting this way and doing these things because she says that she has a little brother who probably like Ephraim reminds her of in some ways,
right? But he's 12.
Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she told, but she's like, yeah, aging Ephraim like down. Was like,
she calls him a freshman.
You know, when she offers
whatever.
To help him with schoolwork. Like, I remember when I was a freshman during high school. So did she just like forget his age? Like, did Andy not?
Were we supposed to understand? Is there something that comes up later? Like, is she flirting with him inappropriately? Because that was what was weird. At first, I was like, oh, I love this stuff with Ephraim getting taken down a notch because he thinks he's hot shit all the time, right? And then he was like embarrassed. But then it was like, because at first when she's like, it's my job to take care of shit, I understand if there's the little like, yeah, I'm annoyed by that because we're like the same age, or it feels like that. I'm a young man. I'm, you know, I'm cool. You don't mm-hmm. need to do these things. But, you know, if he's going to disturb her job, like he needs to, she's supposed to make sure they have dinner. I understood that first part, but then it definitely got to the point mm-hmm. where it seemed like she was instigating something.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And then even the conversation at the end, I thought was like real weird. I'm like, how long have you been hired?
Mm-hmm.
Like you really got, you like know these people too well and are way too familiar, but maybe she's a genius or something. What's her story? Like, I'm very curious about this really weird.
Well, she's
person.
A Virgo, so she's very perceptive.
She got into Juilliard for babysitting. So.
Oh, that makes sense. I hope we do see that soon.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. I will note. So you're. I'm not gonna say anything.
She came in just pushing all kinds of boundaries, and you didn't mm-hmm. understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, totally crossing some boundaries. Ephraim fires her because he's had enough. He tries, but Andy is like, excuse me, no. You don't get to make that decision. Which is also true. Okay?
That is true. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm going to hire her back and you're going to apologize. I like Delia is very excited before she gets sent to her room. She's like, very like, are you going to yell at Ephraim? She's
yeah.
got this like smile on her face. Like, oh, I'm excited.
She had to stop eating her ramen al dente.
And in that scene, Andy blurts out that Nina is going through a divorce, which will come back to bite him in the ass.
Idiot.
It's fun. The next time Ephraim and Madison interact, she's like, Ephraim, come in here, you big teddy bear. And then after he apologizes to her, she sticks a carrot stick in his mouth as she walks past him.
Uh-huh.
So you're reading that as what? As like flirting?
She's trying to instigate being a sexy babysitter.
Like, I don't understand what that means. Mm-hmm. It was very like, I was like, oh, they're making a strong female character. That's cool. But then it was also just like, oh, she's obnoxious. Oh, she's too secure. I'm put off by how secure she is.
She's
in
just
this...
like, I am now your mother.
Yes, a mother and a wife role right away. It wasn't like she's been hanging around for 6 months or a year and she's been their nanny.
Right, they're all like, pair or whatever.
She's been there for like 2 days. And she's like, listen, so... you boys, I know everything you've been through and I'm going to yell at you about it right now. And I was like, what? Didn't make any sense.
For her to know that much this early on, it just sort of just like, okay, so what else is there to do with you? Like, you know all of their flaws and like you've already told them how to fix it.
Yeah.
So like, okay.
Bye.
Well, you know, I guess the one thing I would posit is that it seems from that last scene, which, you know, well, it happens after, so like she and Delia are going to go to mini golf. Ephraim's like, no, mini golf is lame. And we get some like some stuff in the writing that is supposed to kind of validate, I guess, what she was saying earlier about Delia is just going to do whatever you think is cool with the video games. So when he says, like, I'm not going to do that, it's lame. She's like, yeah, mini golf is lame. So that, you know, finally convinces him. Like, fine, I'll go. Madison does get the line, you want to pretend to fire me again? Might make you feel better. or that dude, that Madison... the matitude. And then mini golf, Ephraim is all embarrassed because they run into Amy and her date while they're there.
And his hair.
Frosted tips. It's on the fry program in my notes. Frosted tips tries ghosting Amy by like getting behind her and
ghosting. Pottery ghosting. Not smartphone ghosting.
So gross.
Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And and then after mini golf, Andy says, Ephraim, I need to talk to you. Ephraim has major tood. Good, because I need to talk to you.
Uh-huh. What were you thinking, talking to you about her divorce? I told you that in confidence.
Well, how was I supposed to know? You never told me it was a secret.
Well, I thought it was self-evident. Do you have any idea what kind of hell I went through tonight? I had to listen to her tear my head off for 10 minutes, thanks to you.
I had to play miniature golf in front of Amy and the guy she was on a date with for 10 hours, thanks to you. And I still have a paper due on Monday.
Oh, big deal. And I guarantee you, whatever happened to you tonight... it doesn't even come close to what I had to deal with.
Oh, yeah, because your life is always so much worse than mine.
You know what? That's it. That's it. I can't believe how you two go on. Is it always like this around here? That was rhetorical, okay? I know the answer to that. Are you even aware that there's a little girl upstairs who can hear every word that you are screaming? Or do you think that this house is made of magic doors that just block out the sound?
Look, Madison.
No, I'm not finished. Okay, now you two are two of the sorriest men I have ever seen. You're worried about what your neighbor thinks. You're worried about some girl you have a crush on. Who is worried about Delia? Or is that why you hired me? Because I have news for you. I can pick up as much slack as you leave behind, but at the end of the day, she is your daughter. And she is your sister, and unless you two start giving her some of the attention that you guys like to save for one another, she is gonna rebel like you wouldn't believe. And I'm not gonna be the one to stop her. You know, in fact, I might encourage it a little.
Look, I appreciate your being forthright.
Oh, you want forthright? Neighbor lady? She's totally right about you. You never should have said anything. And you're just upset that she called you on it, so you're blaming it on Ephraim. And you. And that stupid paper, grow up, man, it is just homework. If you worked on it half as much as you whine about it, you'd have a novel by now. Now, I have a life of my own to get back to. I'll be back here same time tomorrow, and I expect to see some new attitudes. Night.
And so that's the point I would make, is that probably, like, in getting to know Delia, I would not be surprised if Delia has been like, yep.
It's just fighting.
Ephraim and Andy
fight
all the time. And, like, yeah. Andy's this, and mm-hmm. her dad's this, and Ephraim's this. So, like, I think, especially in the context of this, where she's like, she hears everything. And, like, so I imagine that Madison learned a lot just mm-hmm. by being present and babysitting mm-hmm. Delia. And, you know, so I think paired with that, like, yes, like, she comes in pretty hot. But I think that as weird and as, like, unexpected as that might be, sure. for me, it's, like, a breath of fresh air. Like, it's like, oh, good.
It's coming from I'm the only person that's listened to this neglected voice mm-hmm. telling me that it's neglected. And mm-hmm. so, like, I'm just going to amplify that mm-hmm. in a way yeah. that you could, like, both hear it and you have to hear it.
How old is she supposed to be?
Yeah, what is college age? What is...
Like, yeah, I don't think we
college freshman.
I don't think we know her age necessarily, but she's a college.
Like,
yeah, she's a college student.
Okay,
so anywhere from
that could be like 19,
from,
though,
man,
yeah.
17
so,
to 23.
Man, this, I guess, like, it's supposed to show like she's just a really exceptional person. Now, if she's not like a genius, again, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
she seems like a Matilda character, like.
Right,
I don't.
Right.
She's in college, and she's like, "Listen, I feel comfortable enough here. Like, I am a 45-year-old woman in a business suit. I'm here to tell you all about. You know what I mean? Like, it was so mm-hmm. secure. Again, I use that word, but it was like, I kept wondering if she's supposed to be 28 in her early 30s. Mm. I can't judge any of these people's ages. Like, I thought Frosted Tips was like 33 years old. That guy was like the oldest actor to play a teenager ever, right? His skin looked like it was made of a purse. It was really
leather.
Weird. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I think a part of it also is like I think she has some bravada in that scene from mm-hmm. kind of having been fired and rehired, like if that was like if you were kind of coming off the heels of that, it's like, you know what, all bets are off, like, no holds barred, like, this is it. And you already fired me once, you tried, like, you know, if I think I might have more of a free tongue if I was like feeling like, what is happening in this family?
Yeah, that's still overstepping a lot, because my mom is nannied for a lot of families, and she has not once gone off on a family like mm-hmm. that. She does this on day like 3.
You know,
hey, that's right. real. Mm-hmm. It's, you're real secure. That's it. Mm-hmm. Secure. Mm-hmm. You're real secure in this job, mm-hmm. And the fact that there's other work in this town, because if there wasn't, like, yeah, wow.
I dig it. I mean I see what you guys are saying about, like, that's going too far, but for me it's like I just lean towards, like, this is needed in this family situation. Like, somebody needs to say something. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they have this character mixing things up. Yep. And like calling them out on their shit, especially right. in the context of an episode where you know, all of the kind of women characters get to kind of most of them get to like basically have a moment of calling out the yeah. men for being idiots.
Again, I don't dislike the character, and I don't dislike what happened. I know it's weird to watch the show with you because I'm speculating while you already know the answer, but that's what I'm saying. Who is she? Is she a fucking genius? Is she a world traveler? Did she take time off of, like, what the kind of person mm-hmm. at that age that can speak that freely? I didn't even mean job security. I meant like secure with her own self. She is so self-assured while she talks to this famous neurosurgeon and his son having an argument for the second day in a row, apparently, and that's it. And it's normal things. Like, it's not like they were talking about drug use. They weren't talking about sexual abuse. They were just like, hey, I'm mad because girls, and I'm mad because I got embarrassed. It's literally a normal family argument. Like, so for her to do it, it's still a little, like, who is this girl?
Right.
Where so is funny. This character going? I am very curious.
I will also never be that confident in my life, so yes, I can't I comprehend.
And most people I know are not
doing
that confident
that in any situation, yeah. Let alone.
She didn't uh-huh. even mention being like into like psychology or anything. Right. She didn't even say like I'm a psychology major. Nothing.
Right. That's why I'm curious. I'm like, what is yeah. it? I'm excited to know, but it was yeah. it also she better have a good explanation, is what I was trying to say.
Sure. We will see. Presumably, yes, she will stick around, and we will learn more about Madison going forward. The next scene after commercial break, I love Andy saying to Ephraim, they're both like cleaning up in the kitchen, and Andy's like, "You're right, she's really mean."
Yeah,
which is so funny. Right. And this is a great scene because yeah, Delia comes downstairs for a drink of water, mm-hmm. and hears them, and hears Andy talking about how he like, "Oh, I'm totally gonna fire her. I'm gonna fire her so hard." And Delia fucking draws the line. She's like, "You can't fire her. Madison's my best friend, and I want her to stay." I'll probably, if I ever edit this episode, I'll totally put the scene in right here.
Fire her? I'm gonna fire her like she's never been fired. She's gonna be so fired, her future children won't be able to get a job.
Yeah, that whole Tony Soprano thing doesn't really work for you. But I'm right there with you on the firing.
You can't fire her.
Delia, I thought you were in bed.
I wanted a drink of water, and you're changing the subject. Madison's my best friend, and I want her to stay.
Well, honey, sometimes things just don't work out the way you want them to.
She's the only one who plays with me and talks to me about cool stuff. She's mine. And if you fire her, I won't speak to either of you. Ever. I'm not thirsty anymore.
I think she's bluffing.
I don't know. I don't want to find out.
I'm not thirsty anymore.
Mm-hmm. It was like the perfect pause in between. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the most not corny mic drop that I've ever seen. Uh-huh. It was so authentic and solid. So just like, I'm not even thirsty anymore. Oh. Right.
And I wonder if she got maybe some encouragement from hearing Madison, like how Madison talked to them.
Yeah.
But also, somebody's got to tell her that she's not your best friend. She's like 20 years older than
right.
you. Check that.
Yeah, you're going to be a little disappointed.
The actress, by the way, the babysitter would have been around 23 when this was at least released.
Yeah, good on you. Yeah, I think, yeah, I would. I'd imagine that she is at least like 21, the mm-hmm. character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This reads to me like we're going to get an episode where Ephraim gets drunk and like she finds out and she's like, "I'm not going to tell your dad. But you better clean up your act." Like, that's what. Mm-hmm. That's what her presence in this life leads to me to. You know.
Predictions. Mm-hmm. All right, Jerome.
Like that prediction.
So related to Ephraim, in 20 words, explain to us the difference between comic books and manga. 20 words or less. No, exactly 20 words. I'll count.
You really gotta mean it. To read manga, it's so good though. Honestly, just don't tell anyone like Ephraim does.
You really have to mean it to read manga?
Hey, you gotta really want. You gotta go your way to find it. He's gotta go to this comic shop at the day and all this kind of stuff. That was, you know, before Barnes and Noble started carrying entire manga sections and stuff. So back then, you really had to like mean it.
Way over 20 words at this point. So.
Hey, you egged him on.
I only
you asked a follow up question, you asshole.
I did.
One thing I forgot to mention, because it's one of my few notes and I have to go back, mm-hmm. is that I think that Delia did Ephraim a little dirty, though. It was earlier in a scene where they were talking about cooking and he was saying that he used to cook or whatever, and she said only in the microwave. Mm-hmm. We've seen him like cooking like in this show before, like mm-hmm. actually preparing meals. Like he was like the contrast to Andy.
You're right. He was doing pretty
he was like
well.
Oh, I can actually cook. And you don't, you can't.
Well, we've seen him, I think, yeah, maybe we've seen him do that. We have also seen him, like, help, like, and Delia like microwave ramen.
Sure, sure.
So like we've seen, I think we've seen both.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think that whoever was the holder of the Everwood continuity Bible dropped the ball.
Who's there. Credited there? As the Bible but also, holder for this one.
Well, then they should have been holding the Bible instead of a ball. Here's, that's stupid.
Okay. All right. here's some headcanon. I wouldn't be surprised if Delia is trying to like be cool with Madison, her new best friend.
Yeah.
And is like, you know, selecting memory a little bit.
Nice.
That would totally make sense to
that's
me.
That's adorable.
Oh, friggin' Delia is gonna ask her to buy her booze. Second prediction.
Delia is going to ask Madison to buy.
How old is she again? 10 or
Delia
something?
Delia does not want booze.
She's growing up fast. She said she's going to encourage this rebellion.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
You know, now, Delia, this is what freebasing is. I'm only doing this because your dad yells sometimes. Not at you, at your brother.
Oh my god.
So intersecting with the Ephraim and Madison stuff is some Amy stuff. Ephraim and Amy at school get an assignment to write about their tragic flaws.
Ugh, I did not want that assignment.
They ask for an example. The teacher asks for another example of somebody's tragic flaw. And one of the students says Kobe Bryant and room service, which is a big oof for me. That's rough. Enough said. Ephraim's like, you think if I pick apathy, I can hand in a blank paper? Pretty good.
Yep.
And that's the scene where Frosted Tips asks Amy to hang out.
That apathy joke, by the way, I pictured like Adam going to school the next day and using that.
Yes, absolutely.
I already had my own apathy joke, which was people tell me I'm apathetic, but I don't care what they say.
Oh, it's not as good.
Really. No, it's not as good. It's very bad. I was a goober. What else do we got? We got, Bright is like recognizes the tragic flaw paper. Mm-hmm. He did that assignment. His tragic flaw was his looks.
It's hard.
It is hard. All the constant grooming. Frosted Tips calls over to him, and we learn that Bright is no longer a member of the Aryan Youth Brigade. Which must have been hard for Chris Pratt to act.
Yeah.
In case anybody was curious, Frosted Tips would have been about 20 when this episode.
What? That actor was 20 years old?
Mm-hmm.
What's
How
the
old
actor's
does he
name?
Look now.
I don't have it up anymore. I'm not sure. I just wrote
you
it down.
You gotta find it, please.
And just in contrast, Emily Van Camp is like about 3 years younger than him, slightly less. There's less than a 3-year difference between those two.
Okay, so he potentially just could have gotten like left behind in school, and that's why he looks old.
Left behind in a furnace?
Yeah.
In the
left
school
behind
boiler?
In terms of the rapture?
Probably. Also, Chris Pratt's hair looks like a collection of pubis. Like, just blonde pubes.
His name is Richard Blake.
Okay.
Ugh, what a name.
Dick Blake.
Ooh, look at him.
He's known for primarily Dragon Ball Evolution. That's his first
look
known for
there,
on IMDb.
He looks so much nicer.
But he probably only played a bully on that movie.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't...
Like, there was only so many parts for other white kids in that movie. Had to have been the bully at the party.
This is his third credit, Everwood.
Hmm.
Wow.
Do we know any of those things? No. The house bunny? Wait.
As uncredited volcano jock.
Volcano.
Uncredited.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Bright is like angry at his old friends, specifically Frosted Tips for asking Amy out, because that was always, I guess, like a standing order from him, like leave my sister alone.
Was do you think I thought it was like now, like he's like worried about her. Do you think was it implied that it was like always a thing, like my sister's off limits?
It was either always a thing or a thing that's been kind of in effect.
Yeah.
For
so what?
I mean,
did he have like a group meeting in a locker room? Like now that Colin's dead,
probably
stay away
they did have a
sister.
Coordinated bathroom stall exit in the pilot. Which everyone was like, you guys choreographed that? I think that's probably like been a thing for a while, especially, I mean,
that's a trope anyway.
Yeah.
yeah, that's bullshit. Nephrim's right to point out, like, that's sexist and degrading.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess thoughtful in Bright's way is what Nephrim says. I just think it's patriarchal bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No. Thank you.
You're welcome. Right.
Bonesaw is ready. No, thank you. Right.
Anything else with, yeah, I mean, Amy's with him. During the family dinner that the Abbott family dinner, Amy decides to go out with Frosted Tips, whose name is Rick Balzac.
Balzac.
Mm-hmm. Bright says Rick Balzac.
I can't believe they said Balzac on TV.
On the mm-hmm. WB.
Yeah. At a family dinner table.
Oh my goodness. Ooh.
Amy decides to go out with Rick despite Bright, and that's how she ends up at
She gets treated to a wonderful evening of miniature golf.
Miniature golf. Good job, Frosted Tips.
What a doof.
And everyone, Amy, touch base.
To go Me too. Golfing. We're nerds, though, I guess. That would.
I won at miniature golf several months ago when I was in Ocean City, Maryland.
Wow.
I beat three people. Thank you very much.
Oh my god.
Thank you.
You never told me this before. How did you not? Oh my god. Adam.
I actually knew.
Andrew knew.
I saw a picture of it. He looked
Of course
cool.
You knew. I just can't believe I didn't know.
Okay.
Drop a picture of that in here.
A picture.
A picture in the podcast.
Jerome is so funny, Adam. Get out of here. Jerome needs to be the host. No, I'm nice.
Hey, Jerome didn't win mini golf.
I didn't. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Here.
Ephraim, Ephraim at his locker scene with Amy. Amy has forgotten to write her tragic flaw paper. Ephraim gives her the paper that he wrote.
That was tells very her to copy sweet. It
in her hand. Yeah, if academic misconduct is sweet.
Oh no. I gave myself away.
Seems like Amy's tragic flaw is cheating. But apparently she's really turned on by it. Apparently academic misconduct is sexy to Amy.
It was nice. Did he say
nice.
What was his paper that he gave her on? What was his?
I don't think we ever find out.
That's what was confusing to me because I'm like, it's like not such a personal thing or something.
It's not even. It's like about a topic. It's about yourself.
Right. But hopefully what he wrote was like, my tragic flaw is that I didn't enjoy mini golf or something. And so then that's relevant for Amy too. Like, yeah, I can do
or
that.
No, she starts reading it. My tragic flaw is my boyfriend died after being in a coma.
I wrote it for her.
It's just like, and then you see a couple of scenes where you're waiting for you see Ephraim waiting for Amy to get to her locker. Like, he's just waiting there the whole time with his paper.
My tragic flaw is I didn't like manga enough.
It was very funny while watching that, you know, she's like, oh, I forgot all about the paper. And then at the end of this scene, she hugs Ephraim and she's like, I will never forget this. And Jerome, was it you? He was like, yeah, just like you didn't forget to do the assignment. And as she's walking down the hall, she just like immediately forgets it. The paper in her hand just drops.
I was also bothered by the fact that, like, you're a junior and you're this far into the school year and you're still having problems with your locker combination. Like, that far into the school year, you're doing it without looking at it.
I don't know what the fuck she was even doing. She's like opening
breathing!
It with.
Yeah. KT beat me to it. Did you see my face? You knew exactly what I was going to say. In your defense. She's creeping.
I just figured it was literally the actual only fucking time that has ever applied in one of these arguments. She obviously is going through something, so she can't remember her locker
combo. This is the only time you think that's legitimate.
Yes.
Oh, please. That's hilarious.
Adam, oh please.
This is the first time this show's been about grief. Yeah.
It's about
college admissions.
Being a buck stag or whatever the fuck.
High rut buck.
High rut buck.
That's the last words buck. Uncrossed off on my note page.
Oh, that's so good. Well, we get, I gotta say, like, I as a high schooler, at this point I was still definitely in high school. I was like the same year as Ephraim. Like, I was a junior, I think. That's part of why I was like, oh, Ephraim, I want to be Ephraim. And then the fucking tragic flaw assignment. Like, that's totally, like, that's how, you know, I thought about myself. I've always thought about myself in those terms of, like, I am, like, it, like, terminally fucked up. There's something terminally, fundamentally wrong with me. That's probably some vestigial, like, Christian shit. But, so that's why, like, I am a big fan of the closing narration being Ephraim's tragic flaw essay. I think it's really powerful.
Yeah.
And we'll insert it here.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. I'm not sure who the first person was who said that. Probably Shakespeare, maybe Sting. But at the moment, it's the sentence that best explains my tragic flaw. My inability to change. I don't think I'm alone in this. The more I get to know other people, the more I realize it's kind of everyone's flaw. Staying exactly the same, for as long as possible. Standing perfectly still. It feels better somehow. And if you are suffering, at least the pain is familiar. Because if you took that leap of faith, went outside the box, did something unexpected, who knows what other pain might be waiting out there. Chances are it could be even worse. So you maintain the status quo, choose the road already traveled, and it doesn't seem that bad. Not as far as flaws go. You're not a drug addict. You're not killing anyone, except maybe yourself a little. When we finally do change, I don't think it happens like an earthquake or an explosion where all of a sudden we're like this different person. I think it's smaller than that. The kind of thing most people wouldn't even notice unless they looked really, really close, which, thank God, they never do. But you notice it. Inside you, that change feels like a world of difference, and you hope that it is, that this is the person you get to be forever, that you'll never have to change again.
I think it's very, like, relevant for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. It's fucking so hard to change, to change for the better, to try to just become a better person. And so I just think it's very, compelling stuff.
And the slacker wrote it during his free period. Bullshit.
I liked that.
Okay.
I liked that it was good because we know that he's smart. He just isn't doing his schoolwork. And I liked that when he was strapped for time and just like had just done something kind and was just tired and kind of sad, he wrote this really great thing. I liked seeing him actually be cool.
Ephraim is fuck it, I'll do it live.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, this this might make you like make it like it less if you haven't.
Uh-oh.
Like, for me, it's like, it's so clear. Like everything you're saying, yes, and specifically the fact that he had done something kind for Amy, right? And he's just, and so I think that like, all of this, like, profound wisdom is still rooted for him in, like, this teenage storyline.
In the self-pity or whatever.
Okay, cool. I think that's totally legitimate, and I think that, like, it makes sense, and I love that comes out of, you know, and, you know, we that last moment, we see him sit behind Amy and just kind of gaze at her.
Yeah.
From behind. Yeah. Just like, my tragic flaw is that I'm too in love with Amy Abbott.
But, I mean, I don't even think, like, right, yes, it is obviously making a obvious right there reference to Amy, but I think that it might just be that he's, like, a romantic. I don't even necessarily think that he's, I think it is to do with Amy, but I think it's just showing, like, I'm always gonna fall in love. Like, it doesn't even.
Yeah, totally. You know what I mean? That's true.
I didn't have to think about Amy, even though I knew it was about Amy. I was like, oh, Ephraim, just a nice guy looking for the person that you want to love, you manga dork.
That's his username. Instant Messenger username, manga dork. Well, I love it. I love that it's all introduced right in the context of these, like, of, you know, Shakespeare plays and Oedipus Rex. I think that I was probably literally, well, learning about, like, write that stuff, like, in Honors English, like, at the time. So,
Honors English, huh?
Okay, we'll talk about this later. I kid. What else we got? We got some Nina stuff. I mean, I think that this was another great kind of context where Andy's flaws get called out in this really direct way, because he's so busy trying to help Mr. Hart, who has resorted to drinking a lot to deal with the grief over the loss of Colin. And he's so distracted by that that while like Nina is actually asking him for help and support, he's totally not there for her.
I mean, even his body language suggests that, like, there's a disconnect somewhere, because, like, he will physically turn away from her and then leave her at a table, and it's just like, hey, no. There's a second. It's like, hey, if you give me 10 seconds, I'll get with you after this call. And then that's it. Yeah.
I think Andy's so caught up in, like, problem solving other people's lives, right? Which is what it ends up being. Like, he ends up realizing, like, yep, I do that. But yeah, he's like, so you're like, well, I already talked to Nina. Like, you just got to do it. Like, just do the plan. Just file for divorce. It'll be fine. So that's why he's just like, I got to focus on this problem. And, like, yeah, I think it totally resonates. I think that, you know, this is episodes like this, I think back to, right, our, like, the kind of conversations we had early in season one about kind of this character. Like, he's too perfect, too, like, what? And I do think, do you think that this is kind of, that it's effective, that the show has effectively kind of problematized his character?
In a way, I actually, the funny thing is, when I was watching it and when I first saw him, I think it was the scene where he's in the office on the phone, that one, it felt more like they were trying to do this storyline of, like, he's moving on and, like, gonna revert back to his old way. I was like, what is happening right here? It felt so uncaring, which we've been seeing so much of his development as, like, this caring person. And then all of a sudden, like, this lady that we've gotten the tease of, like, romantic involvement between them, like,
him and Nina?
Yeah, like, it just seems
like,
so,
forcing,
like,
her to get divorced really so they can fuck.
Come on, there have been, like, a couple times, you know.
I'm joking.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's right. You know, it's it seemed a little jarring to me. Like, I don't think it seemed as much like, God, is that really okay? Like, what are the other examples of him just, besides in this episode, like, being a people fixer or, like, a problem solver or whatever? And
Nina
then
again with her surrogacy and the.
Like, oh, and he stood up in front of everything. Like, looking at people as, like, a.
When he tried to fix Colin's brain.
No, oh, fuck that guy. What is he doing his job for? I don't know. Like, I just, I don't.
Well, and it's part, I think it is connected to, like, I mean, Ephraim's issue with him is, like, oh, you're like hero doctor, right? You get to, you go and help everybody else, but you can't be here for your family. So I think
that's
connected to it.
Yeah, like, I think that's more what I was thinking, like, that this guy again was doing the whole, like, hero, like, so obsessed with, like, healing the, I don't know.
But it's also just that dynamic of, it's like, not equals. It's like, here, I'm here, let me tell you what the truth is, and then move on.
Which I think like, I'm thankful for the kind of the alternate, this other kind of way of articulating it, right? That, like, because I don't want to hear more of, like, what we already heard in season one. I like that it adds some texture, and, like, yeah, it is kind of jarring for sure. It's like, well, Andy, wouldn't Andy be more kind of self-aware? Like, is he really completely absent-mindedly just being so uncaring? And,
yeah, so, you know, especially the walking out of the restaurant thing that was like, wait, are we to assume that he just literally left her?
But also, maybe he feels a little bit responsible specifically because it's Colin's dad.
Right,
specifically,
absolutely.
So, like, now he's got a new thing to latch onto. He's just like, fuck, I couldn't save the son. Maybe I can save the dad. And, like, I can't care about anything else. And then when he gets home and he's got the babysitter stuff and he's just, like, he's freaking out too.
Yeah. No, that's a very good point. He literally says to Mrs. Hart, like, I wish I'd known. I could have done something. Like, I could have fixed it. So I think that's part of it. But I think that you had the right thought of like, I don't think the show, the episode surfaced it explicitly as like Andy Brown slips into old habits. Yeah. Like that wasn't kind of surface level, but I think that totally makes sense as like, we know he's capable of being hyper work focused and being negligent of his family.
Right.
Seeing how that can kind of come out.
Yeah. I just remember being surprised when she was blaming him for what she was blaming him for. Like, she wasn't saying, like, you've talked about how, you know, you were absent with your wife and that's, you know, you've talked to me about that and you're doing it to me. You know, like, that's where I thought that argument was going to go, and then it didn't. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize he was a puzzle solver or whatever, problem fixer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm dumb, guys. I feel really dumb when that happened. I felt stupid idiot.
Like Bright.
I'm the Bright on this show. Oh.
You're the Bright of everyone. Yeah, I think there's some solid stuff. Andy also, you know, over the course of this, right, blurts out to Ephraim that Nina's getting a divorce, which Ephraim didn't know. But yeah, Nina calls him out on that.
Come on, Nina, I'm sorry.
Sorry for what? Sorry for telling Ephraim or for completely bailing on me the other day? Or maybe you're sorry for pushing me into divorce court when I might not be ready for all of that yet.
Pushing you? We talked the whole thing out. I told you.
Yes, you told me. You know, you're super at giving advice, but you're not so big on the follow-through, I've noticed.
I helped you to make a decision. What more do you want from me?
You could be there for me. Friends just don't give advice and walk away, Andy. They listen, but I guess you're too busy to make time for things like that.
Look, I'm sorry if I was rude yesterday, but Jim Hart has a serious condition.
Jim Hart didn't ask for your help. God, you can be so self-righteous sometimes.
Well, why don't you tell me how you really feel?
You know, I'm sorry, Andy, but it is true. You push people to do things, decide when they should move on and how they should move on. Me, Jim Hart, and half this town. What about you?
What about me?
You haven't moved on. Julia's been gone for almost 2 years, and you still wear your damn wedding ring.
It's not the same thing.
Right, because it's you.
Interesting.
Yeah,
you
she's
know.
Been waiting to say that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's cool. Yeah, unexpected kind of slant on it, but I think it works for me with who Andy is.
Mm-hmm.
And with Nina is all these apology goodies. Oh, it is the treats that he makes for that scene ending with that.
Yeah.
Persic, these are terrible. He's like, I know. Very good understated delivery.
It was so great.
What were those supposed to be?
Cookies, I think.
Oh, no. Just cookies.
I've been watching a lot of Nailed It, and I'm just like, how could he have messed up the recipe so bad?
Right.
Like, did he salt instead of sugar? Yeah. Like, what's the problem?
Because the other thing is that's something that bothers me, and I know it's like probably just... if I were an actor, I would do the same thing. But like, it's in every show or movie, wherever somebody has to taste something and it's bad, it is always so unbelievable to me because they literally put it in their mouth and immediately, and especially a dry ass cookie. She's not going to know. She didn't even chew it. She just let it fall into her mouth. And then she was like, oh, this is terrible. And I'm like, what? It's behaving like a cookie. You cannot possibly have tasted it yet. Taste it. It always bothers me.
I don't understand. Like, what would
it be? Yeah.
He ground up aspirin and coated the outside of it.
Yeah. Did he spray it with bitter apple like she's a dog? Like, I don't.
He thought it was like an extract. I thought it would be nice.
And then the other storyline that we have is with Dr. Abbott, Harold. Ooh. You see him having just received a call from Davenport, who runs the Everwood Pinecone. But in this context, Davenport is called to inform Harold that he has been chosen to be the High Rut Buck. A lot. Man of the Year.
Also a very horny term.
High Rut. Yeah. Apparently he put his own name in the nomination box.
Yeah. Which is
a great little detail.
When I put my name, that delivery was so funny. Oh.
So Harold has got that going on. He's also got Linda his sister starting work at the office, and the whole storyline there is as KT predicted.
Yay!
Congratulations to KT for them predicting correctly that this episode would involve differences in Eastern versus Western medical treatments. Mm-hmm. Well done, KT.
Thank you.
Do you have a speech prepared?
No, I don't.
I want to hear your speech you made after you won mini golf 3 months ago in South Carolina.
It was like 6 months ago, and it was Ocean City, Maryland. But I can give the speech.
I know you can. You have it saved to your desktop.
I don't. Let's not lie, everybody.
No, he's very fastidious. It wouldn't be on the desktop.
Yeah, he uses folders.
Google Docs somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I actually don't prefer document management on Google Docs. That's still a bit of a transition for me, for the record. Moving everything.
So sorry, Adam.
That must have been why Ephraim's narration at the end really resonated with you.
It's so hard for me to change from a local document structure directory style to fucking online Google Cloud. No!
No!
How do we feel about Harold and Linda?
Harold's racist and she's a quack.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh my god.
Harold's racist, Linda's a quack. Good. She does prove the efficacy of her acupuncture, mm-hmm. when he gets a crick in his neck from staying up all night working on his mm-hmm. acceptance speech.
And then she gets him high all day.
She warns him that, you know.
Ooh, ancient Chinese secret, apparently. Acupuncture not only, like, frees up your muscle system, but also your emotions. So.
Delayed, like, 8 hours later.
Wish he could time somehow. Like, that's
wild. A picture, they should have cut to her, like, in her office, the lights are dim, and she has a little voodoo doll of him or something like that. And then she just, like, makes the mouth into a smile.
Or behind the scenes, the assistant is putting mushrooms in his tea, because, like, that's the only explanation for that kind of, like, outpouring. Yeah,
absolutely.
Some psychedelic matcha.
Yeah. Right, it was peyote tea, but, like, she didn't know.
Yeah, yo.
I found this in the pocket of this thing that Linda gave me to wear. I put it in your tea.
That would have been much better than the explanation of the needles, to be honest.
Headcanon.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, whatever she did, it does lead to another great Dr. Abbott scene, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I remember really liking this scene a lot, right? When I realized this was the Lodge episode, I was like, oh man, it's going to be some fun Dr. Abbott stuff. And it came through. I think in my mind, I was expecting another, like, woozy pratfall.
Mm.
I thought, like, from the effects of the drug, I thought I remembered that happening, but it didn't. But that's okay. Instead, he just gets very emotional, expresses his gratitude for Pi and for friends. And there's this great moment where he's, like, naming the people.
Yeah.
And he lingers on one, the one who, like, waves
Jerry.
At him.
Yeah.
With like Jerry.
Yeah! So good.
Great detail. And it ends with him. Yeah. Well, why don't we just put it in here?
God, I miss my dad sometimes. He was such a good man. And now here I am, surrounded with good friends like you all. Good men. Men. Nick. Hank, Jerry, I love you guys. I love you. I love you, Dad. Dad.
I love you, Dad. Dad.
Yeah.
That was very sweet. Fun, yes. Fun moment for Tom and Mandis.
Bah.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Yeah, in his one, well, he didn't do that in the actual speech, right?
No.
But when he was working on it, he was like, fellow bighorns, let us ba-ba into the future with pride.
Yeah.
Before immediately crumpling that up and throwing it away. Well, good old racist Harold. In there, Ming Dynasty. Out here, civilization.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's seen the Mortal Kombat movie.
No, we haven't watched the fucking Mortal Kombat movie.
Well, there's another character in there who's brilliantly racist, and he rivals Harold in this scene. Like, the guy in the scene is just like, yo, you're saying some stuff. He's supposed to be an asshole.
Right.
But even in 2021, you're just like, okay, we're still going to go there. And yeah, with the exception of some curse words, he like rivals what Dr. Adam was saying in this whole episode. It was a lot.
You're telling me that the fine film Mortal Kombat is using shortcuts like that in order to build up the villain? I cannot believe it, sir.
Yeah.
Tonight's episode, by the way, brought to you by Kleenex. Do you need to make a bunch of jokes rooted in toxic masculinity, mocking men for expressing emotions?
Feelings. Yeah.
Kleenex, have us in your car and reference us to make fun of another man's tears.
What kind of man has Kleenex in his car?
Listen, they're for sex, okay?
They're for cum.
We didn't have wet wipes back then.
I leave them in there. I give those to the middle schoolers in case they're heading off to their middle school sex club.
Ew.
Here's some Kleenex, kids. Why'd you give them Kleenex and not condoms? Excuse me, Everwood, you don't want giving your middle school kids condoms.
Mm-hmm.
What is sad. I kind of hinted that we'd see more of the Hart's kind of grieving process, specifically Mr. Hart kind of being an alcoholic. That's rough. And Andy, you know, asks him to write join this study. Under, like, it's clearly, I mean, Andy's being sneaky, saying, like, you'd be doing me a favor if you had a subject in a study. For like medication for alcoholism, and Mr. Hart is like, nah,
I'm good.
No thanks, I'm good. I'm gonna keep drinking.
Yeah. That's if this is the episode where they're trying to like, in a special episode, talk about alcoholism and stuff like that. I don't.
This is that. If that one happens, it happens later in the season. I'm sure.
Okay, because that was like a very soft pass.
And yeah.
No, I'm just going to drink. So, but also, unrelated, I was listening to a podcast and like the hosts were interviewing another couple of podcast hosts and listening to one of the podcast hosts basically say like, I love cocaine more than I love my family right now. And it's just like, oh no, this is addiction. So, So then
maybe his family really sucks though.
I mean, honestly, it's possible. Yeah.
Menace to Vance.
Yeah.
Or maybe his family is heroin and he's making the better choice.
I love my family.
Sure.
It's great.
We also get at the end of this episode some fun little three doctor dynamic getting set up with Harold and Linda and Andy having a little exchange on the sidewalk.
Doctor?
Doctor! I hear you made quite a speech last night. Got some extra Kleenex in my car if you need them.
Nobody likes you.
Good morning, Harry. Dr. Brown.
Andy, please. That's a nice car. You don't see many of those around here. What's it get?
Over 50 to the gallon. Yeah, I figure you gotta do what you can. Of course, your SUV isn't helping matters.
Well, I believe I have patience to see. Some of us don't have time for idle chit-chat.
You do. That's my yogic breathing class. Nice to see you again, Andy.
You too. Oh, and if you know where I can get a good deal on a bicycle. She seems nice. Harry, you sure you're related?
Sometimes I wonder.
Which I look forward to more of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dr. Three-Way action.
Ew.
It's that inappropriate?
Siblings in that.
And Treat situation. Williams.
And Treat Williams. Siblings and Treat Williams.
Single. Wow. Wow. Is this just one more woman in the town for Andy to not be interested in and not date forever?
Mm.
But then if something happens, Dr. Abbott's not going to be shadowed by the fact that, you know, Dr. Brown's going after his sister. None of it's going to end well, her presence in this town.
Yeah.
So in terms of gif-able moments, I think the best one was the carrot stick in the mouth.
Oh, sure.
I think.
I would edit the carrot stick out to be like a dick.
Perfect.
That pause, complete silence. Perfect. Lord, what if Treat Williams had gotten this same kind of antagonism on set whenever he tried to make little corny jokes? Huh?
No, he just got silence and then no perfect.
Yeah, what if it had been silence and perfect Treat? Go fuck yourself.
Well, that's why he has to go back in time to get acupuncture from Linda in the office as an old man.
Right. We see he did Mr. Jensen, I think is his name, who we've seen before. Yeah. I can no longer keep track though because I think there are two old like doddering guys who we've seen, and I forget which is which by now. But it was cool seeing him. But yes. Definitely current day 2021 Treat Williams bears a kind of a weird resemblance to Jensen.
At least laying down on the acupuncture table he did.
With his skin, this kind of gravity's doing its thing maybe in that direction. Well, let's do our ratings. Hmm. Who wants to go first? We can do 3 scores in anticipation, while watching, and in retrospect after the conversation.
Don't you do TV time first, or is that after?
I thought about it, and I think I'll do TV time after our ratings this time.
Okay.
This time.
Okay.
Time.
Okay. All right. When it was in the anticipation times, I couldn't remember what the fuck
before we watched it. That's when that was.
Yeah. I think it was a 5 because I think last week was really good, right? Or 2 weeks ago. We didn't do it last week. That's why I was so confused. Last time was really good. And so I was like, hey, maybe this will be good. Maybe it's a 4.9 instead of a 5, but I'm not sure. I've been a little trepidatious about season 2. But while watching, I got to remember that my favorite episode is still
the Magilla
one. So it's hard. How do I give this a 5.5.5? I don't think it deserves a 5.5.5. I think it was fun. I think it deserves a 4 in the middle. Yeah, it was fun. But like, is it Magilla playing with dolls level of amazing? Or Colin dying level of amazing? Like, for real though, like, there have been other times. I don't know. 4.5, whatever. I break the rules. I don't give... Fuck you. Mm-mm. And then afterwards... 5. It's been fun. I think it was a fun show, and I think we all liked talking about it, and it became better in light of the conversation. That's why it was hard to give it the 4 while watching.
That's why you didn't. You gave it a 5.
Right, yeah. No, I didn't. Fuck yes, you. Did. I gave it a 4. It's not a 5.5.5.
We're going by review with Forrest McNeil rules, which allows half-star ratings.
Oh, good.
Okay. What? This is unprecedented.
Well, so no one's ever tried to make a half-star rating before.
That's
no
why
one's
it's ever felt the need to.
Yes.
So don't argue with me. It's unprecedented.
Certainly, it is not precedented.
It's unprecedented.
It's unprecedented.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Man, you agree.
I think the real reason that my middle review wasn't a 5 is because of that old teenager that was in it. That asked me out. Frosted tips. Yes.
What if every guy who ever like gets involved with Amy falls into a coma? I would for like him to also frosted tips to fall into a coma. And...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A miniature golf induced coma.
That's Amy's tragic flaw.
She drives people out of comas.
Everyone who falls in love with me. Oh, man.
Okay, so I'll go 5 going into it because it's been a while. And I was excited to see where we are in season 2 because I honestly don't think I watched season 2 on. So it's all new to me.
Oh, nice.
four in the middle of it because I forgot we were in a drama that sort of like wraps things up at the end.
Yeah.
Because like watching it, I was just like, yo, this better get resolved and these attitudes better change because like I'm not liking anything that's happening.
Yeah.
So like,
wow, you sound like Madison when she was like, I expect to see some new attitudes tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. Yeah. Because, yeah, ooh, I know, Jerome, you've got daddy issues or whatever. But when Ephraim came into that house with that tone of like, yeah, we do have to talk.
Yeah.
Sorry, trigger warning. My dad would have punched me back to the door. Like, oh. I would have. So to see that kind of stuff, whatever. I'm just like, yeah, I know this is probably a lot of people's reality. But like, for me, the idea of like coming in with that much stuff, whatever. And then, so then I have to, in my mind, like when I react like that, like, yo, you can't do that. I'd just be like, well, I don't have to be as mad at his reaction to this, whatever. But also, you can't come into that, like talk to your parents like that with that kind of like, yeah, we need to talk or whatever. So like, I don't know. I'm trying to like find a balance of like, yeah, teenager, you should be able to express yourself, but also check your tone.
Yeah. Sort of, you know? Yeah.
So yeah, that scene just reminds me that I still got some work to do.
That shit takes you out of it. I've had that kind of moment with a show, I feel like, a few times. Yes.
It totally.
Can some of the things, the reactions or the relationships or like the things that people do, I'm like, what? Like that's sure. Not my experience at all. Yeah. And that's like, and yours is such, that's so extreme. I'm so sorry.
That is intense. Yeah. So, and it does, I will say, like, it seems like kind of a stretch in the writing for like Ephraim to be so upset from the mini golf situation with Amy.
Yeah.
To like to come home and like, it's like, okay. I guess they're just kind of reaching for like the extremes of where we've seen this relationship and these characters. And it's like, we need the worst of these two characters to come out right now. And both of them, I guess, yeah, are taking it out on the other, which, you know, I get it. It just is like, I did have the moment watching, like not connected with like father stuff for me, but it's just like, whoa, like, why are you so?
Why are you so?
Yeah, like this is also, but also not the first time. Remember
being a teenager and everything was so dramatic.
Yeah,
right. And, you're like, right. I'm sure he felt, and it was humiliating. Like, yeah. And I guess I forgot. Yeah, like for him, like Madison introducing himself as the babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
He's him having to be like, not my babysitter. And that is connected with, you know, with Andy having hired her back. So I guess I retract my point. I think he was totally right to stand up to his father. Sure. But I also apologize that you had the kind of father that you felt you couldn't be more confrontational with.
Yeah.
I wish that your father had been more like Treat Williams.
Yeah,
me too.
Don't we all?
Yeah, that would have been nice. And so then five, coming out of it, yeah, it was a good discussion. And as, you know, like the idea of recapping a show that's so long ago, whatever, is funny. And then you watch it. And then you break it down and you're just like, oh, okay, well, that was like a thoughtful discussion. Like, I wasn't expecting that. So that's what
this is brings what me back up. We do every time, Jerome.
Yeah, but I forget.
Yeah,
he has to convince himself that this is not a complete waste of time for us to do.
Considering no one's ever going to hear this. So that was a 5.
Yeah,
four, five.
Okay. In anticipation, 5 stars. I did not remember the title. It's been too long, so I stopped puzzling over it. I'm sure I was right in many of my initial predictions last week. Sure. Not as right as you, KT.
Yay.
You win the mini golf award.
Yay.
This time. During, I have to give it a 3 stars because I felt personally attacked. In high school, I had frosted tips.
Yes, you did! Yes, you did!
And many people asked me if I was 40. That part's not true. But I did have frosted tips in high school. So, speaking of trigger warnings.
I understand.
Abusive father.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. In retrospect, it came up to a 4 a little bit, but I was still really feeling it. I'm sorry.
Did you feel attacked by the show or by like Jerome and me for making fun of the Frosted Tips?
All three of you, yeah. And me, because I didn't stand up for myself.
Jesus Christ. Understandable, yeah.
I forgot about your Frosted Tips.
Mine were spiked though. Yeah. I didn't have them all smoothed down over like ball sack. Yeah.
Dude, I saw a picture of him leaning against a tree. He was super cool.
I don't think I had Frosted Tips in that picture, but
that's the only one that I've seen.
Maybe I did. I don't know.
I haven't seen like other pictures of you on your hair journey.
All right. Put a picture of me with Frosted Tips in right here.
All right, so that is a 5-3-4 from correct. Eric.
Yep.
A 5-4-5 from Jerome. A 5-4.55 from KT. And for me, in anticipation, easy 5. Especially when I realized that it was the Lodge episode. I was like, oh fuck yeah, I'm so excited for this. Mm. While watching, 5. Loved all the women characters getting to stand their ground and speak truth to the idiotic men in their lives.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was a good time. And 5 in retrospect.
Because wow.
It's just a great, solid episode, I think. Yeah, a lot of good stuff. And that tragic flaw shit, I relate to it a lot because I'm a goober.
Yeah, that was good.
So, yeah, 5-5-5 from me. Let's do some... Are you going... to the lodge. What's it called? The Elk Lodge?
No, that's a real thing.
Something.
They're like
no.
the big ram something or I don't know.
The bighorn? The sheep. Bighorns. Are you going to the Bighorn Lodge? Parsley, sage, rosemary, TV time. Yeah. All right, only 2 comments on this episode on TV Time.
Fools.
4 years ago, TV Time user Isabella wrote, ha ha ha, I love the babysitter. Give that a like. 3 years ago, TV Time
user... I love this segment so much.
TV Time user Carlene Laurent wrote, hello, savage babysitter. Also, I like how Delia is having a mood and going around the house slamming doors and stuff. Tear laughing emoji. I'll give that a like as well. I'll also comment on one of these. I'll comment on Isabella's comment. She has no replies. Neither of them have replies, so it's really special for Isabella to get one from me.
Mm-hmm.
I will write, go Madison! Exclamation point.
Send.
I'll write, haha, yes! Exclamation point. Go Madison! Exclamation point. That's for you, Isabella. I don't know what you're watching these days, but remember 4 years ago when you watched Everwood?
You will now.
All right. Congratulations, Isabella. This
congratulations. Wow.
This has been Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, TV Time.
Yay.
Our second to last segment, Treat Tweets!
Is that enough? Is that enough?
That is definitely an improvement. Yeah. You get the, like, it feels like, you ever watch The Soup with Joel McHale? It's that. Yes. It's like it's a classic The Soup, like, segment animation. Like,
yeah.
Treat Tweets!
I love it. It reminds me of the Willy Wonka sound when he was doing like the whistles.
So. Well, that's different from The Soup, so.
Great sound effects, KG.
Yeah, no, they were way worse last time. What do you got to report, Eric?
Oh, so it's been 2 weeks of Treat Tweets.
Holy crap.
I think he's been busy working. I don't have as much to work with. Mm. He posts a lot of pictures of just where he is, like outdoors stuff, mm-hmm. like just nature pics of mm-hmm. flowers and the ocean and or the sound. I think he's on a sound. I don't think it's the ocean and mm-hmm. trees and things like that. He's just like, this is where I am. It's just a picture of some plants.
Yeah.
The most notable thing for me is he posted a video
yes.
of himself taken by somebody else. It was another actor. I think it was someone relatively well known, but I can't remember who it was. But
George
it was
somebody.
Yeah,
right?
But it was a picture like this person was standing like up on like a porch or something like that or something. And Tweet is out in like the yard. I think he has binoculars and he's looking up at there's this eagle on top of a tree. And this person is narrating him.
Yeah.
Treat has no idea it's happening. And he's narrating it like it's a nature
film. Yeah,
because
he says, my friend George making fun of me.
Yeah,
or something
like
that.
And he's like, now we see the actor Treat Williams stalking his prey. The majestic bald eagle perched on top of a tree. And he's very good natured about this video that his friend took of him.
I love it.
That's
walking
adorable.
Around
it
in the yard like an
cute.
Old man looking at this bird.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to find that and watch it.
It's very cute.
You know where to find it. It's in
Treat
Tweets. Treat Tweets.
Yeah. That's great. Love that.
Two of the little birds like get really big like on the camera and
whoa.
Say
tweet tweet.
Awesome.
Drop that image in there too.
Yep.
That video clip.
And right here should
I keep stealing also. Jerome's joke.
I know.
I love it. Keep going.
Our final segment is predictions.
Oh boy.
Season 2, episode 5. The next episode that we're gonna watch is called Daddy's Little Girl.
Gross.
Daddy's Little Girl.
It's going to be about Delia because of what was just set up.
Could be about Delia.
I know it, I know that there are other daughters, but I just thought through the daughters that I know. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Delia because of what they just set up.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole point of the last little thing.
She's growing up.
And she's not getting any screen time. Like that was one of the things I liked about this episode, even though the babysitter was a little awkward for me because I was like, who is this character? Like, where is she going? Delia has been completely ignored by these people.
Yep.
It's so weird.
Her family or the writers?
All of them. Definitely all of them. And so I feel like she's due for an episode. So it's going to be maybe like Treat has to spend a lot of time with Delia. Treat. His name is Treat.
His name is Treat.
I will say, I misread the title. It is Daddy's Little Girl. G-R-R-R.
Okay, let me think.
But you already gave your prediction. So.
Oh, okay. I can't do it based on the new one.
Eric and Jerome, predictions based on Daddy's Little Girl.
So, we're going to find out that after having seen the magazine that Delia gave to him for his birthday.
Oh, goodness.
Arnie had actually joined the teenage sex club out in the woods.
Oh, Arnie, he's
and
way too young.
He's a father.
Arnie's a father.
Uh-huh, yep. And his girl, they have a girl, and it's you know, this is all very quick. Obviously that sex club was not very long ago, so the daughter is extremely premature, which is why it's Daddy's Little Girl.
Oh my god.
Okay. Highly inappropriate.
Yep.
But that's ever would never wouldn't for you. I is doubt it? I'll be able to edit out all the inappropriate shit we've said over the last
but maybe that one.
Maybe that one. Maybe, in fact, and you didn't respond to my request, which was a prediction based on Daddy's Little Girl.
Nope.
So I'll give you a second chance. And okay. We'll edit this one in.
Stephanie Disnick!
Okay, great. Good prediction. Jerome, thoughts on Daddy's Little Girl?
What is Nina's husband's name?
Carl.
Okay, so Carl gets a boyfriend who's a cub, and so he calls him Daddy's Little Girl. And he brings him into town. He's parading him around, and it's just like Nina's like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" So like, I think that's.
I want that to be it.
He's
oh
parading
God.
Around in like a collar, like a leather situation. You know,
like all of a sudden he's proud of it. It's amazing.
Is he like a pitcher for the Cubs or?
No, just Cub being like, he's like a
but I
young,
want,
little hairy.
I thing. Want Carl and his boyfriend to break up, and then Carl asks Andy if he'll go to the Denver
the
gay
leather,
club.
The leather bar
oh,
with him.
Oh, yeah.
With him. And like, we see Andy dressed up in leather.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think would get asked to go, Andy or Dr. Abbott? And who do you think would be more likely to like accept?
I think Carl would ask Andy, and Andy would be more likely to accept.
Yeah, but then right outside, he'd get a panic attack, and they'd go have pancakes.
I was going to say, I wonder if his leather pants would be as badly made as all of his other pants on this show.
He's the only person with baggy leather pants.
With the poof coming out the top over the belt for some reason at all times. Pirate leather pants.
Envisioning Harold like at any bar, though, reminds me that I did see Tom Amandus in an episode of Better Things today,
mm-hmm.
where he was kind of hitting on the main character played by Pamela Adlon.
Has he aged well?
I think he's aged beautifully.
I do, nice. Too.
I thought he looked like a wizard. I genuinely, that was the first, like...
In the screenshot I sent you.
Like, it felt so wizardy. It was something about the color or something. Was there an interesting...
Seemed like a fancy, a little, shiny blue or something.
I think that the just the tones of the shot where it's a little more saturated,
yeah,
or something
like
that.
Yeah, but
like
his shirt,
like
was it like colorful?
Something.
And his hair know. Was like wild was, and
yeah,
silver,
long.
Like...
Shout
yes.
out to Tom Amandus. You are still...
Working.
You still got it, and you're still working.
Did that show Eli Stone with the lawyer? I feel like I remember.
Maybe.
That.
Eric,
oh, so
you quick. I can look it up quick on
what?
The phone.
Eli Stone? Was that a show or a
He's
person?
Trying to see if Tom Amandus was in Eli Stone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tom Amandus, yeah.
Recurring as Martin Posner, one of the co-owners of the firm, seasons one and two.
That was a really good show. It was corny, but it was
Eli Stone.
I never heard of it, I don't think. Greg Berlanti created
it's by
it.
By Greg Berlanti.
Get out!
Oh my Fair? Gosh.
Cool. I never even heard of that show.
Oh,
wait.
Yeah.
No, I guess it does sound familiar.
You didn't hear about it, Adam. It's okay.
I always loved Victor Garber.
Loretta Devine's role in it was really good, too, in this show.
Right,
it was
from
nice.
Boston Public.
My mom and I used to like watch Eli Stone together. It was a good show.
Oh, wow.
Well, this has been Predictions. Tune in to our next episode to find out who was closest to being right.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, hint. It is Katie.
Yeah, thank goodness.
In anticipation, one star.
Well, this has been Never Would, Never Wouldn't. Thank you for listening from whatever apocalyptic doomscape you are listening to this from. I can only assume that it is years in the future and things are not going well.
If this is all you have access to in a post-apocalyptic world, how lucky for you.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You must be glad you were left behind.
Ooh, and with that, we'll close it out.
Perfect.
It's your first time doing this with a new neighbor.
Oh, our upstairs neighbors.